Welcome to the Marty Shigold Show podcast. NIB are more than just health insurance. They're a health partner. Live health first with NIB today.
All right, here we go.
Can't have Matt cheating.
From the Triple M studios.
God, it's all happening.
This is the Marty Shigold Show. Triple M.
It is a well-oiled machine for our ham flour hour. The weekend edition of the Marty Shigold Show podcast. Thank you for being with us. Get in touch anytime through Insta at Marty Shigold.
Thank you for coming back in today.
Happy Saturday. I love being with you guys.
Happy Saturday.
Every Saturday morning. Marty, did you bring any of your driveway in this morning?
No, I've left the driveway at home today. Which
where
is
it belongs.
Where it belongs. We're going to play a new game, which William is going to walk us through, unless you have something else you need to do first. William.
Well, I was just going to discuss the rules. So I've hesitantly titled this, Google This.
Google This.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I'll give you a question. I was thinking, this is an open forum to discuss rules and stuff. I was thinking you only get one answer.
Oh, okay.
So you can't go half-cocked.
Yeah.
I actually think that might have been the rules because this was a game that I played many years ago with Michelle Laurie on air.
Yep.
And we used to call it Google Off. I don't know why it came up in conversation.
Yes, I can't remember either.
Maybe we were just chatting and I made the observation. Yep. But anyway, we're going to just bring it back. It's a one-off. Everyone relax. There's no IP issues.
No. So what is going to happen?
I'm so nervous.
I will read a question.
Yeah.
And then Troy, Marty, Matt and Lauren will be furiously Googling away.
Troy's playing too.
Yeah, I'll play. I've
Troy's
got a keyboard
in.
Here.
Yeah.
There's 17 keyboards here, actually.
You get one guess.
Okay.
So name is your buzzer?
No, just yell out the answer.
Okay.
I think everyone recognises each other's voices. Here we go. Question one.
Who's speaking?
Is it first of three?
I've got five here.
Oh, great.
I can easily make up a tiebreaker for anyone.
Well, let's
see how we go.
Let's get through it.
Yep.
Okay. I feel more relaxed now that I know that there's more than just one that we're doing.
Yep. Question one.
Oh, we're starting.
Who said that?
Question one. We were discussing the most notable people from cities and towns around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the Oscar winner that was born in the small town of Shawnee, Oklahoma? Ba-da-da-da. It's when it's all of you playing.
Got it.
Brad Pitt!
Matt got it. It's Brad Pitt.
Oh. I thought we said something first! Yes!
God, that feels good.
I hadn't, but I said got it instead of
I know.
Matthew. What were you supposed to just shout it out?
Yeah.
Do you know what I've written?
What have you got?
Notable M people, 00SK, Sorby Moakla.
What did you write?
All I got out was Oscar winner from Oklahoma. First thing, Brad Pitt. Bang.
I said Oscar winner born in Shawnee,
well done,
Oklahoma.
Matthew. Yeah. You ever seen anything like that?
Yours is like a different language.
Oh. Yeah.
And you didn't even hit enter.
No.
That's Marty's typing.
What happens if you hit enter? What does Google do for you?
It's Brad Pitt.
Yeah, it's asking for people from Saudi Malacca.
Oh. Might need to check that. I'm not sure what I just said. I don't think it's good.
No. For safety, I think
just
it's
run that one past legals.
No, I just beep it.
Just beep all of it.
Okay.
All right.
God,
hang
Lauren.
On. William, what have I done here? Is this still work?
Yeah, that's still
that'll
Google.
Still
yeah, yeah. yeah. That's
all right.
still good.
There we go.
So I just yell out the answer.
Yell out the answer. Matthew's on one. Is everyone ready?
I'm going to use English this time.
Yes.
Here we go. Question two. As we're sitting here right now, and I'm going to have to let the record show that we were recording this on Friday at about 10 a.m.
Okay.
It's important. No, but it's important to the answer.
Mm-hmm.
How many gold medals has India won at the 2022 Birmingham Commonwealth Games?
Three.
Incorrect.
Six
is right.
Oh. Mine came up with, what is Indian gold? Question mark. And then it says Indian gold jewelry, Etsy. I've forgotten how bad I am at this.
Yes.
It's funny though.
This is why Michelle Laurie used to thump me at this game. She was actually very good at Googling.
I don't think Googling's your issue. I think it's typing.
I think you might be right.
Here we go. Question three. Matt's on one, Lauren's on one.
And hitting enter was fun too.
Yeah, you got to that bit. Yeah.
Normally I go to the magnifying glass.
You were trying to go and click it.
Oh my God. I don't just press enter.
I do now.
Yeah.
Here we go. Question three. In the early career of Rami Malek, he was uncredited for doing some voiceover work in which video game?
Until Dawn.
Incorrect.
Oh, that's my only time.
Tano?
Incorrect.
So we're out now.
I know. Not video games.
That is a game.
Yeah, but I think
Halo?
It's credited.
Robot Rami?
Halo?
Which
Halo Alpha?
Halo?
Oh, I've got it.
I'm going to give it to Marty. It's Halo 2.
Well done, Marty.
Well done, Martin.
Very good. Halo?
You're not as excited now, are you? Oh, it says Halo 2, uncredited.
Yeah.
I didn't look at that bit.
I missed the uncredited.
What did you put in?
I put in Rami uncredited video.
Oh, see, I just put in Rami voiceover game. I missed uncredited.
I put good
Rami Malek video work voiceover. I had a couple of extra words.
Yes.
And none of them were important.
No.
Marty's was efficient.
Very good, Marty.
That was, I'm good back. Googling. I'm back. I forgot how to Google.
All right, here we go. In 1972, Clifton Pugh won the Archibald Prize for a portrait of whom?
Whitlam! Gough Whitlam!
Correct, Lauren, it's Gough Whitlam.
Jeez, I was close! Yeah. I had to hit enter.
I got it too, but you were too fast, Lozza.
Pugh.
Pugh like a church pew.
Pew, pew.
All right.
I spelled pew correctly.
Yeah.
I just wrote Pew Archibald.
Yeah, good. That's good.
What'd you write, Matthew?
1972 Clifton Pugh, P-E-W-U-E, Archibald Prize.
That's what I write as well. Okay. Exactly the same thing. Mm. Too much info.
That's if.
Yeah,
but
that's
you don't want to.
I can see what happens now.
You can do too much.
Yeah.
But if you go too few, you won't get the answer.
But it's also, it's in the question, this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be a bit of subterfuge early.
Early, that's.
To get people Googling the wrong way.
Yes.
Here we go. If Lauren gets it, it's over. If Marty or Matt get it, we've got a head-to-head tiebreak, and I'll have to invent one.
Oh, gee.
Here we go. The Mendeleev crater on the far side of the moon is named after a chemist most notably credited with the invention of what?
Oh, Jesus.
Do-do-do-do. Yeah, a bit of clicking around for this one, which I like. I can see Lauren's on the right track. Dun, dun.
Can you say it again?
The Mendeleev crater on the far side of the moon.
Pricolodion! A smokeless powder.
Oh, I said most notably, and I'm not going to accept your answer, unfortunately, Lauren. The Mendeleev crater on the far side of the moon is named after a chemist most notably credited with the invention of what? Oh, bed's over.
Jeez, I got to play that again.
Oh, shit. I'm
back. No, I've got it.
I'm on one of my walking tours.
I know, you had it.
I'm on my walking tour again.
I can't read this quickly.
Can I just say it?
No!
I want to say it.
No.
What if I find
periodic law?
No! The metric system!
No, I'm going to give it to Matthew. It's the periodic table.
Which is based, I lost the periodic table and I just got it up.
It's based on periodic law.
I've been on this guy's Wikipedia page and I can't.
It's at the very, very top.
I control F'd invented and then.
Oh, best known for formulating the periodic law or creating a periodic table of elements.
My heart hurts.
I unfortunately went back to my walking.
Where were you walking?
You went back to Panama City.
I must have hit return at some point.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad that I was wrong.
So it's a tiebreak between.
Between Matt and Lauren.
So
here we
Troy
go.
Troy and I are off the hook.
We're out.
Yeah, you're off the hook.
This game is really stressful.
Oh, my God.
It is. My heart's beating for
very
you guys.
Stressful.
It's just when I'm like, oh, I'm out. Someone's going to get it before me.
Yeah.
I'm like, they haven't got it.
I'm still in it.
I'm in it.
Yeah.
But
good chat.
Technically,
that's pretty much what happens, Matthew.
How are your domestic chores looking this weekend?
Really good, thanks, Troy. I'll walk you through it later.
All right, here we go. This is
not
a tiebreak.
Matt gets to play.
No.
There's a reason.
You're good at playing.
Yeah.
You are.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Here we go.
Lauren said something nice.
The tiebreaker. Oh.
That's unfair.
Kids are fighting, Marty.
Well, I'm just going to let it happen.
Because you're done for the week.
Because, mate, I'm 3 minutes from walking out of it. And enjoying the rest of my Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a half hour.
Okay.
Here we go. First released in 1983, the Nintendo Entertainment System was originally released for an introductory price of how many yen?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yes.
37,980.
Incorrect.
14,800!
Lauren got it!
Yes! Yes!
Taking that win into the weekend. Yes. Enjoy.
What number did you read?
Oh, the Nintendo Switch OLED price.
No.
No.
You bought the whole telly.
Enjoy the Ham Flower Hour and your weekend. We'll chat to you next time from Triple M.
Triple M's Marty Shear Gold Show. Get the podcast now from the Listener app.
I have to talk about when guys' nuts explode.
Yes, we do.
That's kind of radio I love making.
Exploding. Exploding. Oh, sounds incredibly painful.
How'd you bust your nut? One question we're asking. English rugby league player Jack Johnson has seen the funny side of a shocking training accident that forced him to have a testicle removed, joking that it had been a very testy time. Good start. Yes. Good start from Jack Johnson.
Great start.
The Newcastle Thunder player recently revealed he'd had to undergo surgery to remove a testicle after a freak accident during training.
Basically, over the last few days, I had a bit of a freak injury at training. I've ended up losing one of my testicles, and it was actually my favourite one, my left one, unfortunately. Yeah, I've just took a knee to the ball, and the rest is history.
A lucky sense of humour.
Oh, so do I.
He's nice.
How'd you bust your nuts? Mm. In this case, it was a knee to the testicles.
Oh, jeez, that sounds
exploded.
Painful. Exploding.
Exploding testicles.
Mm. Cherry tomato.
Mmm. Oh. The injury caused him to miss the side's next match. Well, that's
of course,
fairly obvious.
So.
And he'll likely be out for the rest of the season.
I'll be probably out for the season now. I mean, Dennis has tried telling me from when he had a similar issue, but it was more of a vasectomy, that he was actually training the next day. So, Dennis, if you're listening, I won't be training this week or anytime soon. And it probably was a bit worse than what happened to you.
Yeah,
there's a big difference between your nut exploding and having a vasectomy.
Yeah.
Yes.
What happened to you, Chris?
G'day, guys. Actually didn't happen to me. A friend of mine is a bricky, and one day he was working on a site, and the site was really muddy, so they had all, you know, like boards, duck boards, to push the barrows along.
Mm.
The young apprentice, he was pushing the barrow. It was full of mortar, and the barrow slipped off the duck board, and he balled himself on the handle or the end of the handle.
Oh, no.
Of course, obviously, everybody on site pissed themselves laughing.
Of course.
And it took him 5 minutes to compose himself, and even then he wasn't in a good state. So they said, go into the site, Lou, and make sure it's still there.
Yeah, yeah.
Half an hour later, he hasn't come out of the dunny, and, like, they're not the place that you want to hang out too long. They're pretty cute.
Yeah.
So someone's jimmied the door open. They found him passed out on the floor. His overalls are pulled open, and his ball, obviously what had happened was he's opened up his overalls, pulled down his pants, and his nut unraveled like a yo-yo on a string down to the floor. And it was too much for the young fella, and his brain just said, "Nah, I'm shutting down today."
Yeah, he's just glitched.
He's just glitched.
Because he saw his nut bouncing around like a yo-yo.
Like a yo-yo.
Larry, did you bust a nut, Larry?
Well, no, again, not me, but talking about one hanging around like a yo-yo. We went scrumping when we were young blokes, about 15 or 16, in Mornington for apples.
Yeah.
The farmer caught us. Started shooting at us with saltpeter out of his shotgun.
Sure.
So, of course, we've legged it.
Yeah.
Basically, got to the barbed wire fence. Two of us were taller than Rob, the third bloke. We've made it over in one bound. Mm. He hasn't. He's caught his bag on the barbed wire as he's gone over.
Jesus.
We had to get him home with the yo-yo action going on.
Oh.
When we got him home, his mum proceeded to put him on the kitchen table and sew it back up herself and put white pepper on it just to sort it out.
All fixed.
All fixed. Get out of your room.
Triple M's Marty Shear Gold Show.
We are asking the question, where's the worst place you've ever lived? And I'll preface it by saying that I once didn't even make it into a group house in Carlton in the early 90s.
Mm.
I only made it as far as the garage, where I stole 16 milk crates from around the suburb and put my futon on it and hung my clothes off the water pipe that ran out to the outdoor toilet, which was just behind my head. It was stunning.
Oh.
Eight people in that house.
Wow. What about, what was winter like?
Horrendous. With no door that locked, just a sliding door.
Oh, that's awful.
It really was.
How long were you there for?
Oh, probably 16, 17 years. No, I was there for a good 6 or 8 months.
That's a long time. It was, living in conditions like that.
Hideous. It was the worst place I'd ever lived.
When was that?
92.
Yeah,
93.
Right. Just at the start of the journey.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Where's the worst place you lived, Gus?
Yeah, so a few years ago, early 90s, did a little stint with the Australian Army, staying in Singleton, New South Wales, in some army barracks.
Oh.
And when it rained outside, it rained inside.
Oh, right. So just an awful setup, Gus.
Had our hoochies pitched over our beds. It was that bad.
Hoochie is a great word, Gus.
Yeah.
Oh, hoochie's awesome.
Hoochie's, I thought it was hoochie.
What's a hoochie?
It's just a bit of fabric.
It's just a bit of, like, waterproof material, isn't it, Gus?
No ends.
Yeah. Nah, just a bit of plastic, stuck it over the beds, but kept us dry.
Yeah.
And then a few years after that, I tuned in and the Kosovo refugees had come over to Australia.
Yeah.
And they were complaining about the accommodation. And, of course, they moved into nice new digs. But it was good enough for the army.
Yeah, well, I see. So they stayed in the same place you were?
Oh, yeah.
Going on, my Jesus, looking after the boys.
Yeah, I know.
Army sounds like fun, doesn't it? The army just doesn't seem that appealing.
Not
although
to
you
me.
Do get an education in the army.
You do. Well, I told you I went and did cadets at Pakapanya when I was at school.
Yeah, but you've got to study.
Quite the education. Just do cadets. Neil, he's on the phone. Hey, Neil. Worst place you've lived, Neil.
Hey, Neil.
G'day, how are you?
Wonderful, mate. Where's the worst place you've ever lived, Neil?
We didn't live there, but we camped out there for 2 months. It was over in Puerto Escondido in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
The joint cost us $5 a night, Australian. We were there for 2 months. We had Komodo dragons or whatever they are over there, like Big Goanna.
Yeah.
It was crawling through the roof space. It was like one of those little cabins with the slits in the walls, you know, that back in the Ned Kelly days. And every Friday night, they would have a full-blown club there. There was no lock on the door.
Oh, no.
The crew would just wander in and out through this. There was six of us staying in this tiny little shack.
Oh, horrendous.
No sheets. Nothing. I had to sleep in a surfboard bag.
Oh, my God.
Awful. That's
2 months. Friday night was club night.
Like the Ned Kelly day.
Yeah. The randoms that had drifted into your hut on club night.
G'day,
horrible.
Mate.
Awful. Worst place you've lived. Peter.
Box Hill, 1976. I'd lost my license due to bad circumstances with a magistrate.
Sure, right. Peter, sure.
it wasn't my fault. That's a different story. And ended up with an 18-month-old child at the time. I thought it was 8 months. But we lived at my parents' place, and the only place to live was in the garage, like Marty.
Yeah.
But the garage had been burnt out 2 years beforehand.
Oh, so it was really just a charred shell, Peter.
That's all it was, and we set up a tent inside and stayed there for 10 and a half months while we got back on our feet.
Oh, my God, Peter, that is a testing time with an 18-month-old.
Oh, yeah, it was different.
Did you survive it?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, yeah, I am, Peter.
The Marty Sheargold Show on Triple M. The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M.
It's time for Hookipedia. Get your minds working, Marty.
Yeah, this is a fun game.
It is.
It's basically Who Am I?
It is. Like from Sale of the Century.
Yeah,
sort of
we ripped it off. Yeah. But that's okay.
I read some facts out about somebody from their wiki page until you guys can answer the simple question, Who Am I?
Hookipedia.
Well, Marty, you, Lauren, and Will all playing against each other here. It is the best of three. First person to guess two celebrities wins for the week. Will, I believe you had a win last week.
Yeah.
The game went for about 10 seconds last week.
Oh, that's right. You dominated.
Yeah. You were undefeated to that point.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, maybe today's my day.
All right, let's find out. Ready to go?
Yes.
First one, who am I? I was born in Queensland in 1990, and I grew up on a farm in the Gold Coast hinterland.
Margot Robbie?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You did it early. You're unbelievable.
William.
What bit of that? The farm in the hinterland?
Queenslander, about the age of 32.
Wow.
Very good at working out very the maths quickly.
But then you...
Very good.
That's a big risk.
What about Iggy Azalea? Could have been her.
Could have been.
Yeah, because once you go, you're gone.
Once you're gone, you're gone.
There's getting another guess. I mean, if you're happy to go Margot Robbie after someone's lived on a farm in Queensland, good luck to you.
Famously, I got Burt Newton after one.
Yeah, because you knew the family. Yeah.
His
he
brother's
had three
names.
Cousins called Jack. Burt Newton.
It's still the only point I've ever got game.
Could be another quick game like last week.
Oh, William.
Okay, all right. I'll wait. Who am I? I was born in Adelaide in 1955. I was the sixth of eight children.
Paul Kelly?
Yes, Marty! Oh, well done. Well
That's
done.
That's a good guess.
That was really good.
Yeah.
PK.
Didn't know he was South Australian.
Big family. Mm. Yeah, he's got a lovely song about Adelaide. Do yourself a favour.
Next one.
The next one should be Harry Styles if there's going to be.
Can I just say, if Will or Marty gets the next one, they win.
They win. That's true.
Well done, Matthew.
Oh, what if I update. Get it?
You have to get one more and then
another
you'll win.
Yeah.
You can still win.
First of two.
Who am I? I was born in Mackay in Queensland in 1973. My middle names, Astrid and Salome. I have the words, because I'm free, tattooed on my right arm, which is the side closest to spectators on an athletics track. My breakthrough season was in 1994 at the Canada Commonwealth Games, where I won gold in both the 200 metres and...
Kathy Freeman.
Yeah!
Oh, it is Kathy Freeman.
I thought it was Kathy, but then 94 threw me.
So
could she be 6 years at the top of her game?
Yeah.
To win gold in Sydney?
She won a...
Very good, Loz.
One apiece.
Silver in Atlanta.
The decider.
This is for the decider. This is for the win.
No, she's on TV now. They just had a photo
that
of Kathy Freeman. That can't happen.
Ready for the next one?
Yes.
Who am I? I was born in Wellington in 1964. I spent most of my life living in Australia. After the age of just four, my parents moved here to pursue their careers in film set catering.
Russell Crowe.
Yes!
Oh, my God!
Well done!
I was waiting.
Wikipedia. Two down.
Triple M's Marty Sheargold Show.
This is a disturbing story. There's no other way than to just get straight into it. The UK has a lot of things to worry about. One other thing they need to worry about in the heat waves is the gruesome death of honeybees.
Oh. I'm thinking about your sugar lips.
Got a feeling for you now that's so strong. I'm dreaming of... Who have been found to suffer a difficult fate when it gets too hot. I didn't know this about bees at all.
No, neither did I.
Research reveals they can literally ejaculate themselves to death in extreme heat. Matthew?
Yes, Martin?
Are you hearing this?
I'm hearing it. I love an update from the science world.
Oh, this is science
what it is. This is just science world.
Yeah. But we desperately need the bees to not be doing this.
Oh, totally.
We need bees.
We need bees. The world will not exist without pollination.
Matthew, are you...
Yeah, but they're allowed to have fun too.
Yeah, but this
isn't
fun. They're dying.
Just not to death.
Let me finish. Yeah. Let me finish the story and then see if you still think it's fun.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Male worker bees are subjected to very high temperatures. Their bodies begin to convulse when that happens, which forces them to ejaculate. Let's go down to the sand. Their abdomen-sized penis.
What? Equivalent.
What? In scale, that's the equivalent size. Out of their bodies, and then they die from shock.
Oh,
that's awful.
This is really sad.
It's so sad.
To casual onlookers, it looks like the bees have spontaneously exploded.
Oh.
But new research, and that's why we're discussing it, it's a science story, has shown there to be a bizarre sexual component to this final act.
Do you think it feels at least maybe a little bit good for them at the end?
It'd be pleasurable, I would have thought.
I hope so.
I mean, bees, just given their sheer size, I don't think have a lot of feelings.
Yeah, true.
And I don't want to be a casual onlooker seeing any of this.
No, I don't want to see a bee spontaneously explode, knowing full well that he's actually just exploded his penis and ejaculated. Bees try to maintain a body temperature of 35 degrees, and if things get as hot as 42, then half of the drones will die within six hours.
No.
Poof, 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 poof.
Hold on, I'm coming.
All right.
Oh, my God. Why are we playing this?
Hold on, I'm coming.
Not cricket season.
Hold on, I'm coming.
I think we've covered it.
I think so. Good update.
I'm coming.
The Marty Sheargold Show on Triple M. The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M.
What did your toddler destroy is the question we're asking. Kids destroy stuff all the time. And don't bring up and say your life because that's assumed.
Yeah. Your marriage.
Your marriage. It's just things, you know.
Things around the house.
You come home and the two-year-old's writing on the wall.
Yeah, that's
with a Sharpie.
Stuff.
They threw the wee thing at the TV.
Exactly. That kind of gear. A mother's taken to TikTok. It does seem as though we're using TikTok as a primary source now a lot. Mm.
Well, these are various ones. This isn't one story.
This isn't just one.
Nope.
This is a US mum. She shared a terrifying video to TikTok as she walked in on a disastrous scene caused by her toddler, Kimber. And there's Kimber there. Not only was the toddler covered head to toe in blue food colouring, but also the cot, the pillows, the clothes were pulled out of the closet, and even her baby sister didn't escape the mess. And there's Kimber's little sister, who's absolutely covered in the cot, just her shoulders and arms. Where she could where she could access her little sister, she covered her in the food colouring as well. Kimber's had a field day in there.
Looks like a Smurf.
She does. She looks like a Smurf. You can't belt them.
No.
I remember I painted the dog pink when I was a toddler.
Yeah.
Did you? Jenny Berry next door.
In Darwin?
Yeah, in Darwin.
Ballet.
We'd eaten a bottle of vitamin C tablets, so I was no doubt peaking. And then Jenny Berry and I painted the chihuahua pink with undercoat that I found under the house.
Oh, yes.
I went, well, why was I unchaperoned for that amount of time?
Why were you left alone?
Do you know what I mean?
Did you have to shave the dog?
That's 1974.
Yeah. Well, you're allowed to do
so it. So I would have been under three.
Of course.
Like, I shouldn't have been alone for that long.
Kids were left to do a lot on their own back then.
Well, certainly Jenny Berry and I did a lot of things.
Oh,
right.
Dave.
Not so much that age.
Early start.
Is that why you use the name Jenny all the time? Do you
Maybe. What did your toddler ruin, Dave?
My little girl decided that she was going to get a ballpoint pen and run it all over the white leather couch.
Oh, God.
No.
White leather couches with kids. It's just a nightmare combination, Dave.
Yeah, I know. We sort of had the couch before we had the kid.
Yeah, so, I know. It's almost like which would you return if you had the choice?
She was a bit of a whoopsie, so we didn't really...
We've got her on the line, Dave.
In fact, she's right here with us now.
Very good morning to you.
She was a bit of a whoopsie.
Describe like that.
I hope you meant the couch.
I think Dave did.
He was talking about
she
the couch,
was a bit
no
of a
doubt.
Whoopsie.
Never
heard that.
Hey, Rhiannon.
Hi.
Rhiannon, what did the toddlers ruin?
So my toddler set my couch on fire.
Oh, no.
No. What?
Unsupervised, obviously.
I was outside hanging the washing up, and he grabbed our stove lighter, our clicky stove lighter, and came screaming outside going, "Mum, Mum, Mum," and I walked inside casually, and my couch was ablaze, and my 6-month-old daughter was there trying to play with it.
Oh my God.
Wow.
What a nightmare.
I had to put it out with my hands.
And
the couch had to go.
Yeah, of course.
I bet.
Yeah. What about the kid? Did you keep the kid?
Yeah, he's 12 now.
A whoopsie, was he?
No. Well, yeah, he was for me partner. He wasn't for me.
What does that even mean? That you knew what you were doing, but he didn't.
Yeah.
No time. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Wonderful.
When I was young, about a bit over 25 years ago, me and my little sister got into a giant jar of Vegemite.
Nice.
And my mum was asleep on the couch at the time, so we continued to paint her and the leather couch in Vegemite. We then moved on to make toast in the VCR. Before my dad come home from work to find us painting the TV.
Wow. Your mum slept through all of that, Matt?
Yeah, she slept on the couch for a couple of hours, apparently.
Oh, God. And how long had she been using Valium in the lead up?
Triple M's Marty Sheargold Show.
Before Google Maps, you could still get lost in life.
Yes.
And maybe you still can. We're asking the question now, where did you get lost? How did you get lost? Where were you when you realised you were lost? My mother and her husband were in Spain once, and this is before Google Maps.
Yes.
And they got a little drunk on sangria.
Yeah.
And then they walked out of the restaurant they were in, and they had no idea where they were or where the hotel that they were staying at was.
That happens.
And they just could not remember where their accommodation was.
Oh,
and they
awful.
Just wandered around the streets literally for hours until they recognised a landmark and got back on track. Where did you get lost? Victor Kiplangat took a wrong turn about a mile from the finish of the first ever Commonwealth Games marathon. What?
You butchered that. You skipped a vital bit.
He's the first Ugandan to ever win the Commonwealth Games marathon?
No.
No?
It would have been.
What?
What?
Victor, did he win?
He won.
Oh, he did win.
No,
there you go.
What so did
it, was,
he say?
It was Uganda's first Commonwealth
Uganda's
gold
first Commonwealth Games marathon gold in Birmingham on Saturday. And there he is there. Have a look at Victor. He barely put a foot wrong until his moment of confusion, with only a few moments left in the race. This is when he got lost.
Yeah.
Victor, he ran it in 2 hours 10:55. He said, "The people riding the motorcycles were confusing me. They told me to turn back, but I still made it to the finish." So he's obviously just blindly following the guys on bikes.
Which you would.
Which you would. Yeah. And what, they've taken a wrong turn and he's had to go back?
It might have been like a camera bike and they might have to refill or something and they'll just... shot off to the side.
Yeah.
Steve Cram, you remember Steve Cram?
I do remember Steve.
unfortunate, no.
Mr. Cram?
Mr. Cram. Hello, Steve. Cramming anything today? He defended Victor Zera, saying it isn't his fault. This is a there's a blue line and he followed the vehicle. There should have been a lead bike and that's terrible.
Right.
Did you get lost, Joey?
Yeah, in Rome.
Oh, Rome. Yeah. Rome. Joey, can you remember whether it was hot or cold?
It was the end of winter, Marty.
It was quite
cold.
Fresh. You've got to be careful.
Yeah. And that's what you don't want?
You'd rather get lost where it's a little bit warm, according to Lauren.
Yes.
What happened, Joey?
I was on a Kentucky tour and everyone had gone on and watched soccer except me and my girlfriend thought, nah, we're going to go and find happy hour. We're
good.
In the Vatican City. We're in Rome. This is happening.
Yes.
We found happy hour. We had a great old time. And then we started to make our way back, got on the metro. That was fine. Got on the correct one. And then we got off at the correct station, but then we got off on the wrong side of the road.
And that threw you.
Yeah, except we were asking randoms, you know, for directions as best as we could in our very broken Italian, trying to point to the address on our bit of paper.
Sure.
We got back in the end, but apparently everyone else on our tour was really worried where we were, including my ex-boyfriend in Australia, because apparently I was texting him. So,
Apparently. You don't remember that, Joey?
Look, it was a great old time. I wasn't in
Rome. Yeah, no, he's lost in Rome. I mean, if you're going to get lost somewhere, it might as well be Rome. Rome.
Better be Rome than somewhere else cold.
Yeah, somewhere cold.
Yes. A scene.
It's Dean. G'day.
Oh, my God. Dean, is it?
Yeah. Are you serious? It says pronounced scene.
It actually told us how to pronounce your name on our screen.
Walked us through it.
It says scene, pronounced S-E-E-N.
Which is why I said scene.
There's some funny spelling. It's C-E-A-N, but it's pronounced.
It's pronounced S-E-E-N, scene. Well, it's not. His name's Dean.
Dean.
Hello, Dean.
Hello, Dean.
Pretty warm down here today.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know. You don't want to get lost in the cold, Dean. Where did you get lost?
Actually, it was the wife. We just moved to China to work and live.
Yes.
And dropped the kids off at school. I'd gone to work, and the wife had a taxi card where she should get dropped off.
Right.
The taxi's dropped her off. She's got out in the middle of Shanghai. No idea where she is. Nothing recognised. So then, she starts calling me at work, and I'm like, I'm really busy.
Yeah. Well done, Dean.
And she's very upset and lost in the middle of Shanghai.
Yeah. Aww. It feels worse to be lost in the middle of Shanghai than Rome for some reason.
No Google in China.
No Google.
Yeah.
No Google in China.
No.
Well, how do they find things out?
It's a great question.
It's a good question.
Dean wasn't interested in answering it.
The Marty Sheargold Show on Triple M. The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M. Everybody.
And it's time for the socials right now. Your messages to us during the week through Insta at Marty Sheargold Show. William, over to you. What do you got? You're in charge of these.
Thank you, Troy. Yes, we have a lot of fun on the podcast and on our Instagram at Marty Sheargold Show, which is where I've received all of these messages. Yes.
Well done.
Matthew is one of our listeners from the US. I think he might be in Denver, Colorado, from memory. He travels around the US, and he says that he found this store that has gone out of business in America. It's called La Patricia.
Oh,
La Patricia.
Which is your alter ego when you get super competitive, Loz.
Yeah.
Matthew's suggesting that Loz was so loud with the customers they went out of business because Patricia turned up.
Yep. Patricia was shouting at everyone. Yes.
Do you remember how we used to have a bingo card that we put up on our Instagram and it was all the things that had happened? Well, Alia pointed out this week that it went off. There was bingo this week.
Oh, was there?
You can see here because Troy has to hit the dump button.
So finally
it went off.
Yeah.
So she's done them all.
Yeah, we've done them all.
That's amazing.
Done
them all.
It's things like Lauren mentions Noni, Marty references Gavin or Phil, Troy brings up Chapel Street, Matt. Will says length.
Matt puts through a good caller is one of my favourites.
We say tools down, fellas. And then finally, Troy has to hit the dump button, which happened earlier this week.
Yes, we have to get rid of something.
Fun bingo card. We should put a new one out.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah,
I don't think we made that. It was someone made that for us.
Yeah. True. Someone sent that in. They're good fun. We played this song or this ad.
Mm.
Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming.
And then we've had Matthew on the Instagram since then point out, which I was unaware, and Lauren as well. As soon as you told me, I realised. That the song playing underneath is actually called Hold On, I'm Coming. Which to some listeners,
James Brown,
might seem extremely obvious. It's a good one for future reference.
So tuck it away in your back pocket if you need it in conversation at a party over the weekend.
Yes.
You remember that Channel 7 promo where they all said, I'm coming? That's actually a James Brown song singing underneath that.
Great icebreaker.
Matthew sent through a version by Sam and Dave.
Sam and Dave?
Yeah.
Not the two guys that do Adelaide Breakfast for Nova. I know that's Ben and Liam.
This is a POV that was sent to Matt by email. MattTheFlapper@gmail.com.
Oh,
it's another
course.
Way of getting in contact with the show. Yeah. And it's possibly the best point of view shot that we've received to date.
Oh, really?
Look at this man cave that has been sent to the show.
Oh, Lord.
You can see it on our Instagram now.
Do you reckon that's real or has he digitally made that up?
No, that's someone's
home. It has to be real.
So there's Chesterfields, single chairs, there's an open fire.
Extraordinarily
magnificent. A 30, I assume, with a couple of 4 and 20s on the table.
And a banana.
And a banana and pyjama for scale.
And,
wow.
And our show's up on the TV being streamed live into the man cave.
We also have a very new baby.
How do you know that, Loz?
To see the little baby monitor.
Baby monitor.
Oh yes.
Sherlock Holmes.
And another banana on the mantle.
Noticing all the clues.
Wow, that's on our Insta right now.
Yes, it is.
Two bananas for scale.
Very wonderful room. And from Moose, he pointed out, because we do our favorite, one of our new favourite characters, the Italian mobsters, Tony Two Hats.
Tommy!
And Tommy Two Shoes.
Tommy Two Hats.
Yeah. Moose pointed out that we probably got our inspiration from this Goodfellas scene.
And Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
I'm going to go get the papers, get the papers.
I'm going to go get the papers.
I reckon
papers,
I did get it from there.
Jimmy Two Times.
Jimmy Two Times.
We've also had Nick that's gotten in touch. Hey, team. It seems like I'm not the only one who loves the Boston accent you guys have introduced with the Tommy Two Hats. Here's our favourite three-year-old son, Sonny, giving his best impression, and here is his version of...
Tommy Two Hats, I only got two hats.
Oh, my God!
Very good.
Oh, that's
so good.
Two hats, I only got two hats. And four fours, I only got two phones.
Oh, that is great.
Tony Two Phones, I've only got two phones.
Yeah, all right. It's on our Insta.
It will be.
At Marty Sheargold Show, Clara's just giving us a thumbs up. There you go. Get in touch with us anytime. That is the socials.
And the echoes of my mind.
Triple M's Marty Sheargold Show.
Now, we can't work out if this next story is a stitch-up or whether it's a real thing, because it's just so ludicrous, it doesn't make any sense at any level.
Not at all.
Russia has been mocked over a bizarre promotional video intended to encourage emigration to the pariah state entitled Time to Move to Russia.
this isn't like the astronauts solo session.
I don't
in space.
Believe don't, this. No. I really don't believe this can be a real thing.
Well,
because we've fallen for one in the last couple of
years. Oh, we never fell for it.
No.
Apparently, this has been on the air in Spain.
The Russian embassy tweeted it
as an
in
ad
Spain.
In Spain.
As an ad for Russia.
Yes. As a commercial. Yeah.
It's baffled viewers as to whether it is a parody or it's actually serious. The Russian embassy in Spain, as we've just discussed, tweeted the 53-second clip with the titles of the video followed by white, blue and red hearts of the Russian flag. We've got grabs.
Yes. Yeah.
This is Russia. Delicious cuisine. Beautiful women. Cheap gas.
It can't be real.
It's so weird. How's the voiceover?
Have we got more?
Rich history. World famous literature. Unique architecture. Fertile soil. Cheap electricity and water.
Oh, there's more.
No cancel culture. Hospitality. Vodka. Economy that can withstand thousands of sanctions. Time to move to Russia. Don't delay. Winter is coming.
It has to be.
It has to be a
joke. It has to be a joke.
Come for the cancel culture, stay for the fertile soil.
The Marty Sheargold Show, week in review.
Hang on a sec. And away we go.
This week, we discovered kids can be trouble.
My little girl decided that she was going to get a ballpoint pen and run it all over the white leather couch.
Oh, God. It's almost like which would you return if you had the choice?
She was a bit of a whoopsie, so we didn't really...
We've got her on the line, Dave.
She's
staying there.
In fact, she's right here with us now.
So my toddler set my couch on fire.
Oh, no.
What?
I had to put it out with my hands. The couch had to go.
What about the kid? Did you keep the kid?
He's 12 now.
A whoopsie, was he?
he was for me partner. He wasn't for me.
Oh, what does that even mean?
And while we're talking things being ruined...
A friend of mine is a bricky and young apprentice. He was pushing the barrow. It was full of mortar and the barrow slipped off the duckboard and he balled himself on the handle or the end of the handle. And it took him 5 minutes to compose himself and he wasn't in a good state. So they said, go into the site, Lou, and make sure it's still there.
Yeah, yeah.
Half an hour later, he hasn't come out of the dunny. So someone's jimmied the door open. They found him passed out on the floor. His overalls were pulled open and he's pulled down his pants and his nut unraveled like a yo-yo on a string down to the floor.
Now, not everything was bad. We're excited for the Comm Games.
Kate McDonald in the gymnastics on the beam, Loz.
Ooh.
And that wasn't the only sports chat Loz got involved in.
1989, the Australian cricket team captained by Alan Border wins the Ashes in England for the first time since 1930.
We only had 12 players for the whole series.
Oh, that's
and
solid.
The English used 29.
Oh, my God.
And we won
4-0. Around in county cricket looking for someone who can face the pace.
We need an opener.
We need an opener. We need a number 3. We need a 4. We need a 5. We need a 6.
Who's the 12th man?
Yes. Very good. We need a new 12th man. The drinks are awful.
But when the competition heats up, enter Patricia.
Colour, fortified wine cave.
Natalie Portman!
No.
Honey, ice and tea!
No,
back to Loz.
If anyone has bought a giant Costco bear from Savers in Greensboro recently,
you're never going to see Benjamin's
gone.
Benjamin's gone. Benjamin's gone.
I just want to know that he's happy and safe.
He's not.
Now, this week, we did have a slight issue with one of our callers.
Hey, Sam.
It's Dean. G'day.
Oh, my God.
Dean, is it?
Yeah. Are you serious? It says pronounced Dean.
It actually tells us how to pronounce your name on our screen.
Walked us through it.
It says Scene, pronounced S-E-E-N.
Which is why I said Scene.
There's some funny spelling. C-E-A-N, but it's pronounced.
It's pronounced S-E-E-N, Scene. Well, it's not. His name's Dean.
Dean.
Hello, Dean.
And that wasn't the only error we picked up.
He came back with the beer, and I had to ask again for a cocktail menu, and he started rhyming off different kinds of alcohol he had. Rhyming?
Direct quote.
Oh, the journal was going to change that.
Maybe he was rhyming it like Chumbawamba tub thumping.
Yeah.
It was a whiskey drink.
Hey, I'm going to sing the songs that remind you of the good times.
Songs that remind you of the better times.
When it comes to the vault,
you've got a chance to win $10,000.
Matt had no trouble.
Matt, give us your numbers.
9, 2, 4, 6.
Oh, it's a freshie.
Pin. Correct. And then the next day...
Mate, you're a 1 in 24. You're pretty much... You can just go for it today.
And Roger did.
4-1, 3-2.
Pin. Correct.
Are you joking? Oh, Roger, you won 10 grand.
Now, if you're looking for some summer loving, here's a tip from Troy.
Remember that summer bodies are made in winter.
Oh, good call. Good
You've
call.
You've got to start now.
You've got to start now. If you want to wear European trunks down the beach, start today.
But the true romantic amongst us is Marty.
Do you and Ange have a song?
It's La Mamba.
La Bamba.
Yeah. I get the big Spanish guitar out.
Do you?
Do a bit of Mexican gear, an accent on, which you're not allowed to do anymore, apparently, Dave. But Ange still loves it when I do the full Mexican accent.
I'd kill to see that.
Put a poncho on, stupid hat.
And that's it for another week on the Marty Shigod Show.
That's your song today?
I do this in the lounge room.
Heretia Lumumba? Is that why you said Lumumba?
Maybe.
Probably.
That's when I put on my Collingwood jumper.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Marty Shigold Show podcast. NIB are more than just health insurance. They're a health partner. Live health first with NIB today.